Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas. Joe Giulio, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. Yeah, that money. Give it to Dallas Goedert. Let him keep the money he's owed, because I want Dallas Goedert on this football team. And it sounds to me, or feels to me, like the Eagles are undervaluing Dallas Goedert, what he brings to the team. This guy's one of the best postseason performers ever at the tight end position. This morning, George Kittle got a new deal. 4 years, $76 million, 40 guaranteed. Yeah, he got paid. And I'm not crazy here. I understand Kittle's better than Goddard. I think we all recognize that. But he's older. And if he's getting that much, they can't allocate 1 year 14 or 1 year 11, you know, in terms
it sounds like it's a fair deal. It's something going on here.
Something is going on. It feels to me like the Eagles are undervaluing Goddard. Where do you come down? Are the Eagles undervaluing Dallas Goedert? 215-592-9494. Hugh doesn't believe they are. Where do you come down? Kyle and I are fighting Hugh today, which is nothing new around here. We'll get to you people later on the show. And we got to bring a very interesting hypothetical to the air in about an hour from now. Right now, your phone calls and Philly's back tonight. We'll get to them, including something that's been flying under the radar as they've struggled the last couple weeks. Bruce in D.C. What's up, Bruce?
Good morning, Kyle, Joe, you, and the crew. What's going on?
What's up, man?
Bruce, what's going on?
Hey, man, this whole thing on God, you know what? I think that people are making this thing a little bit more complex than it needs to be. First of all, I do agree that the Eagles are doing the right thing on Goddard. They're not mistreating him. This is all about business, and it's all about projection on where the Eagles are trying to go. Now, here's the thing, okay? And you just said it earlier. You know, you got Davis's extension. I think that, see, they're going to have to allocate funds to that. I think part of that is a factor also with his salary. They're going to have to free up more funds because I think they do want to keep Davis. I think that has something to do with it, aside from his performance and all those other dynamics that are coming into play, on where they're going to have to move cash and allocate cash for next year. So Dallas doesn't agree with it. This is just like the Slade situation, where they could not come to an agreeable term, okay, and they're riding this thing out. And what they're going to do, they're going to turn around and release Goddard. He's going to go out on the market. He's not going to hit his number. Then they're going to come back, and they're going to leave the door open to him. So I think that's how they're going to handle Goddard, and I think that's the smartest way on Goddard going forward. Now, here's the thing, is that if we lose Goddard, you know, Cal Kateran said, well, yeah, Cal Kateran can't fill his role. Okay, but Cal Kateran is a very comfortable piece. I mean, he's clearly demonstrated that he can run pass patterns. He's actually faster than Goddard, but they don't run the 12-player package that often. But if they do, all they need is a serviceable tight end that can block, depending on how they want to run their schemes. And they'll be okay if they lose Goddard. I think that they will have a plan for that, because they're going to be they're going to reinvent their passing game anyway, and going to be more pass happy towards the receivers. So they're going to draw more plays.
They might. And in a vacuum, I understand your point. Like, they could lose Goddard and be okay. And Bruce, we appreciate it. You know what I've noticed a lot this offseason? There's a lot of, hey, they'll be okay. They could replace Milton Williams. They'll be okay. They could replace Josh Sweat. They'll be okay. They could replace CJ GJ. They'll be okay. They could replace Darius Slade. They'll be okay. They could replace Dallas Goedert. Yeah. Individually, yes, but when you start losing all these good players, that's a lot.
Yeah, but
we're just comfortable losing. It's almost like, would you be okay if I just took $20 from you? Yeah, you'd probably be fine. If I keep taking 20s, eventually you say, wait, where'd all my money go? But see, my wallet's a lot lighter.
No, you're making sense, Joe. But here's the reality of the NFL, and this is the thing that I think people tend to forget, because we kind of treat it like college, and even college ain't even the same like it used to be. There's money involved with all of these decisions.
Yeah, I know.
And that's the thing that I think as fans we tend to forget, because we look at it as, oh, you're getting worse at this position. Okay, you're right. There might be. But what we're paying that guy to play that position is not worth what we're getting back on our investment. I mean, look at it like that. And that's how I try to explain it. It's like, I like Dallas Goedert. And to your point, if we move on from Dallas Goedert, we will be weaker at that position. There's no question about it. Yep. That is not the argument that I'm trying to make. I am speaking strictly from a financial standpoint that, if I'm being honest, that I don't readily understand. But I know that for them, $14 million is a lot of money to pay a guy who's missed 15 games in 3 years.
So I agree with you. But is it the right – I'm trying to frame this the right way. Do we need to do that for every position all the time? Like, you're right that he's probably not, by dollars and cents in the NFL, worth $14 million. Mm-hmm. But based on his production, based on – I think you're right. But if we think about that with every player, I mean, they're getting a lot of bargains too, right? Doesn't it even out? Like, Nolan Smith's going to be a bargain. Jalen Carter on his rookie deal is a bargain. Right? So I think smart teams can even it out where, yeah, you have some older guys. They're probably not worth the salary. But Jalen Carter's probably worth, what, $40 million? And he's going to get paid six this year? You know what I mean? Like, it should, if you draft well enough and you're smart enough, it should even out. Like, it just feels like hardline stance on this player at a weird time.
You know, it is weird. But let me tell you where it might have gotten out of whack. And y'all going to love it.
Here we go.
No, I'm saying I'm throwing y'all a bone.
Oh, okay.
And it might be the Bryce Huff contract. It might be the fact that you paid Bryce Huff $50 million.
He didn't do anything.
And he didn't do anything.
Yeah, it's fair.
So now, like, you have to – see, this is where I think people have to realize where the Eagles might be, because I'm speculating. I don't know. We heard Joe Banner talk about how the Eagles might be in more cap trouble than you actually know.
Mm-hmm.
So I look at this decision and the way that they're handling Dallas Goedert as one of those – there's more to this than I know. And for them, to everything you're saying is right. He was a valuable, integral part of this offense in the way that they play. But the bottom line is this. For whatever reason, they do not want to give him $14 million.
It's obvious.
That's a fact.
Totally.
Like, everything else I'm speculating on. So now it's up to me to try to figure out, okay, what are some of the reasons why you don't want to pay this productive tight end $14 million? Okay, as I look at the numbers, he's missed 15 games in 3 years. That's a factor that probably factors into them making this decision.
I agree.
So now you look at that. And there even might be, and I don't know this for sure because we see the moments where he's been productive in key games. But just to throw a hypothetical out there, what if in the tight end room he's not grading out when he's out there as high as he did to warrant that $14 million salary? Now, that's something that, you know, we hear all the time. Like, it's a stat that they use in NFL now that I never heard of when I played. Pressures.
You get paid on pressures now.
You get paid. Like, the young defensive end that we got from Virginia Tech, he looks like he can play, too. Like, a lot of people were talking about him.
The one that was the last player pick.
Yeah.
Had the hyphenated name.
Yes.
Yeah, I'll find it.
This buddy has 16 sacks in his last year at Georgia Tech. Ooh. He gets off the ball. And people were wondering why he slid in the draft.
Antoine Powell Ryland.
Yes, they was wondering why he slid in the draft. He was highly productive. I look at him just in the small sampling size that I've seen, and that's probably what they thought Bryce Huff was going to be. You know what I mean? So now you're talking about Dallas Goedert's production when he's out there. Even though he's made that big play, he might not grade out on those other plays that high. What if Calcaterra's grading out higher? Like, there's analytics that they use when they evaluate players that they factor into whether that player is worth the money he's getting paid.
I know. You're right. And, well, they better be right. I mean, then we'll find out when the season starts. All right, 215-592-9494. Your thought on the Goddard situation. I think the Eagles are undervaluing all the things he brings to the table. I mean, perhaps I'm overvaluing, but what do you think? Are the Eagles undervaluing Dallas Goedert? Yes or no? All right, Hugh, before we go back to the phones on the Phils, we got ourselves a Phil series starting tonight.
Hey.
Phillies, Nationals.
Tomato can.
Well, they're tomato canny, but they have been playing terrible. They got blown out yesterday by the Mets, but they beat the Mets twice this week. And I actually think they're coming in here playing decent baseball, so the Phillies won't be able to roll over them. They got to play
well. This is a pivotal series.
Oh, yeah, because Arizona's after this. Yeah, so I need at least two out of three against the Nats. But one thing I think is interesting is the lineup, right? So they had a good night on Saturday, the Phillies. Sunday, they scraped by a victory. But they're still not scoring a ton of runs, you know, per game and hitting home runs and all that. But, Q, I am starting to look at the lineup a little bit differently. So we've done the Bryson Stott leadoff thing for a few weeks, right? Mm-hmm. Stott's been leading off.
Been pretty decent.
He has played. He's been fine.
Like 292.
I like the way Stott has played this year. He's been fine. And, you know, Turner does it against lefties. But Jack put this up this morning, and it kind of confirmed what my eyes were telling me.
Mm-hmm.
Schwarber has cooled off considerably since they put him in the cleanup spot to protect Bryce. Right? When we did that, it was like, we got to protect Bryce, we got to protect Bryce. Well, we're not getting the best out of Schwarber. Since they moved Schwarber to the lead, to the cleanup spot, 208 batting average, 391 OBP, which he always gets on base wherever he is, but his slugging percentage is only 283, and he only has one home run. Hugh, I know this is a fun little experiment, and it's worked out okay, because Stott, you're right, Stott has been fine. But I need more out of Schwarber. I'm starting to wonder if Schwarber just is more comfortable at leadoff. And we got to put him back there. I've always been a Schwarber leadoff guy. I'd rather keep Schwarber at leadoff. I understood why they did what they did, because they were desperate behind Bryce. Hugh, what do you think? Should they put Schwarber back at the leadoff spot? Because they haven't gotten the best out of him since they moved him down.
I'll say this, Joe, and I'm a long talk just a little bit, because I feel like, you know, the Bryson Stott thing looks like it's starting to, it looks a lot better than we thought it was going to look.
He's done fine.
At the beginning. I think that we're still in an adjustment phase. And the fact that we won the last two games that we were in against the Cubs, I'm not ready to push the panic button just yet, because I feel like everybody's still trying to get comfortable in their new role. So I hear what you're saying about Schwarber's power and everything like that. But to be honest, I think that this is just the growing pains of adjusting to the situation you're in. Because we were talking about last week how Bryce Harper wasn't using his protection behind him. Looks like he's starting to do that a little bit more now, trying to use the fact that he's being protected by Schwarber a little bit. So I feel like let's just keep it like it is for a little while longer, as long as we are still winning baseball.
Yeah, right? Well, the two wins over the weekend did let everyone hit the sigh, right? You get a sigh of relief, right? Like, all right, they won a couple games. They're not on a 6 or 7 or 8 game losing streak. That's nice. But it's funny, because we wanted to protect Harper, but now I wonder if part of this is who's protecting Schwarber, right? Like, I wonder if part of the reason why he hasn't done as well is, well, he's still walking a lot, right? Schwarber always walks a lot, but there's not that Bryce Harper behind him in the lineup to where teams are giving Schwarber the fastball. I like this team better with Schwarber leading off. There's a jolt to start the game. It's not an anti-Stott thing. Again, I agree with you. Stott's done fine. I mean, Stott's done a nice job when he's hitting leadoff against righties. There's just no juice to Stott. There's juice to Schwarber. Kyle, where are you at on the leadoff situation, as we've experimented a lot this year with this? I've always wanted it to be Schwarber. I've went along with the Stott thing, but if Schwarber's not hitting a cleanup, what are we doing?
No, I understand the protecting Harper thing, but it doesn't... I don't know how well it's working out for Bryce, and I don't know if that's because... I don't know for what actual reason it is. Maybe he's dealing with something, but... Not really hitting. He's not really hitting for power that much. It's kind of been a pretty mid to bad start to the season for Bryce Harper. I think we can now look back and attribute the Bryson Stott struggles last year to that elbow issue that he talked about, not necessarily where he was in the lineup or anything like that. I think wherever you put Stott, he's going to hit. Like the Schwarber thing, I think what you said is true. It doesn't really seem to be working out that now Schwarber doesn't really have protection in the lineup. Like, I really think the best version of the lineup is with Schwarber at the top. And then and this seems like a tough ask, but like Alec Bohm or one of the other right-handed hitters, Castellanos, need to step up and be able to protect Bryce behind him. Like, I don't know. It seems to be affecting Schwarber more. And I've been kind of like pulling whatever hair I have out of my head, saying, like, can we start hitting some freaking home runs?
It's crazy how few home runs they've hit.
Yeah, and, like, if you know what? If they start coming back in the form of solo shots by Kyle Schwarber, I'm okay with that. But, like, I think the best version of the lineup right now functions with him at the leadoff.
I'm with you. Yeah, and during Sunday Night Baseball on ESPN, they had a stat on the screen. I think Harper and Schwarber have accounted for 55% of the team's home runs. I think they're, like, 12 out of the whatever. And that's the highest percentage of baseball for two guys in a lineup. That's where the power comes from. So I need to get the most out of Schwarber, and he hasn't done that in the cleanup spot. 215-592-9494. Schwarber back to leadoff. Would you press that button, or are you like, Hugh, let's let this thing marinate for a little while longer? Because they're doing the Stott or Turner, depending on righty-lefty. Where are you at on that? And, of course, Dallas Goedert. Are the Eagles undervaluing? Let's go to Will in the Northeast, who I think is ready to roll. What's up, Will?
Dream team, how y'all doing?
Hey, Will. What's up, buddy?
With Goddard, you know that's my guy. You know, I've been saying he's a big target. Man, this guy has been a big part of this offense and moving down the field. And he's been hurt here and there 15 times for 3 seasons. Okay, I understand that. But this guy, if you lose this guy, he loses a big part of the offense. I know everybody's saying, oh, he could be replaced. No, I'm sorry. Not with what we got. I don't even know the guy, the backup name. So, you know.
Grant Calcaterra.
Whatever his name.
Whatever. Whoever that guy is.
But no, man, I'm serious. Like, you got to meet Goddard somewhere real close to what he's asking for, man. Because he's a big contributor to the team. You know, he's a part of the team, man. Like, he put his work in, and he deserved the payday, man. Not I ain't going to say the 14 mil or whatever that he's asking. But you know where they went wrong at, and they paid who they – I think they paid too much? Zach Bond. I'm going to keep it a bean. You came here one season, and like we keep saying, that front line is what made you look real good. And we're going to see this season that comes up. Now, I'm not going to say he a bust, but guess what? I wouldn't have never gave him that much money after one season. And come on now. Like, I think that's where
strong,
a lot of the money
that's
went.
That's a strong take.
And I'm going to say this, right, about the lineup, right? I say Stott, Sherbert, Bone, Harper, Kepler, Castellanos. Out of them right there, they should bring in at least three runs, maybe four. Just with them going in that order. That's what I'm thinking.
Well, Bohm's your guy, Will, and he has done better as of late. And he had the exact flag.
I can't even be mad at that.
Yeah, but I'm not ready to move Bohm up to third. Come on.
But listen, Kepler, listen. This guy Kepler, he's going to surprise a lot of people.
Yeah,
man.
I'm waiting.
He's a monster. He's coming. But, yeah, I just want to say, listen, man, sign this man back. He's an Eagle. I want him to be an Eagle for life, but, you know, everybody keep putting this age limit, man. Let's stop that. These guys, if they're conditioned, they stay in shape, they're able to keep playing for as long as they
can. I know. You got ageists over here like Hugh Douglas.
Saying,
all the old players out. It's unbelievable. All right,
I love the OGs.
Will, we appreciate it. I think you may have heard that right. Did Will call?
He called him Sherbert.
Sherbert.
I am not mad at it. I just thought it was funny. Well, I'm not making fun of you because you know me. I mess up names every day.
You?
I fumble the bag every day. But
what are you talking about?
I just thought it was funny. I just think it's funny when other people do it.
Ambiwiggity.
Guess who doesn't look like a tomato can or a tomato tan anymore?
Who's that?
The Braves.
Yeah. They woke up a little bit.
Yeah. Better reason than ever to make it a little emergency lineup.
I know. You know,
emergency lineup shake.
Yeah. So look,
I know they put up 10 the other day, but the offense is feeble. Can we get real?
Yeah, we can get real.
It stinks.
I know that we won two in a row, so everyone's feeling better now. Hugh, the gap between the Phillies and the Mets, there's a closer gap between last place and the Phillies. We're 4.5 behind the Mets for first.
They can rake. What they call it, they can rake.
Yeah, the Mets run differential, like plus 50 now. The Phillies are 15-13. Braves now have caught. The Braves are 13-15. They've recovered pretty
That's
fast.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I was looking at. I was looking at the standings.
I know. Yeah, it's pretty close there. Yeah, we got to do something there.
We're floating too close to 500 for my liking.
Yes, yeah, and I know you were on the phone there, Kyle. We think Will called Sherbert. So we have that now. He's Sherbert.
Oh, no.
Kyle Sherbert.
Is he Sherbert since he went to the cleanup spot? No home runs? He's just Sherbert?
Yeah, that's pretty Sherbert-like.
I mean Schwarber, not Sherbert.
What is your favorite? Like, I don't like the raspberry Sherbert.
Orange.
Yeah, that's the go-to.
Orange Sherbert.
That's the go-to.
I feel like I don't have Sherbert often, but when I do, I always like it.
Yeah, it's the orange is better. Raspberry, you can keep that.
What are you on, like a once every couple months Sherbert? Or you?
I haven't had Sherbert in a long time. Matter of fact, you know what I'm slacking on?
What's that?
That it started. I missed the free day. Ritas.
Ritas? I had some last night.
I'm jealous.
You know what we got to do?
What's that?
Well, I think a couple years ago, we talked about banana pudding, and then some showed up here.
Yes.
The more we talk about sherbet, it'll show up.
Somebody's going to get us some sherbet.
We want some sherbet. All right, let's talk to Steve in Egg Harbor. What's
Steve.
Up, Steve?
Steve listening to Tunes ride
music
somewhere.
In the background. Music.
Hey,
Steve? What's going on, Steve?
Steve might sound like he might be at the bar early.
Steve-o!
Today. Steve, you're
at
the show?
Open. It's 11:19.
Probably. Yeah. Somebody's open. This is Philly, man. A bar is open.
It could
trying
be
to hear
a
what
bar.
Song he's listening to.
I was trying to listen with the music on. All right, Steve. We'll get back to you.
Enjoy that song.
Yeah, it's all good. Let's grab David and Blackwood as a thought on the Philly lineup. What's up, David?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. How you doing?
What's good, David? What's up?
Hey, listen, real quick. I spoke to your associate that picked up the phone on me and everything like that with Rojas.
Associate.
You know, I have a problem. I have a problem with him. I like him to be leadoff hitter, But, you know, the man can't, what I had a problem was the other night when he tried the bunt.
Well, he can't do it.
You know, I mean, these are fundamentals. And I don't think Schwarber or Harper has the problem. I think it's the rest of the lineup where they're placed. I think Castellanos should be down in the ninth hole. And I think that would probably pee him off enough where he's making better contact. But the Phillies this year are making contact with the ball. I'm not worried about the long ball so much. Everybody's fixated with, hey, if you don't get up there, you got to hit a home run.
No, well, David, but contact. We need to hit more home runs. Like, I agree they're walking more and they're making more contact, but it's tough to score consistently without the long ball as part of the game.
Well, I agree with you, but, the fundamental issue with baseball is contact. It's not always hitting the home run. If you're stepping up to the plate saying, okay, we got the home run, Schwarber's going to make it or Harper's going to make it. No, I disagree with that. I like Harper when he's going opposite field. I like Schwarber. You know what? If he does make the contact, his power is so immense there. He makes perfect contact. It's going out of any ballpark.
Sure, sure. But you want Rojas to lead off? You want Rojas leading off?
Yes, I do.
Like in the first spot in the order?
In the first spot in the order in Castellanos, I want him down at the nine-hole hitter and everything like that.
But Rojas stinks. He can't hit.
Well, you know what? My position is this. They're going to place him in a batting order anyway. So give him the opportunity as the leadoff hitter and everything to try and get on base, because then you know what you got. And then you can make changes as you adapt with the first hole hitter. Because you know what? You don't want Harper up there as your first hole hitter.
But David, the first hitter, I hear you, and I'm all for fun ideas, and I get it. And David, we appreciate the call.
Rojas is not fun.
The first hitter in the lineup gets up the most. Why am I giving my worst hitter the most plate appearances?
Because I guess he's thinking about the speed aspect. If he lays down a bunt or something.
Let's go get a track star and put him in the lineup.
Can he bunt?
He can't bunt.
He's been working on it.
Oh, my God. Those bunts on Sunday, if they didn't win the game, I was going to scream about them on Monday. They were so bad.
Hey,
so bad.
The jug ain't open. I mean, it's a bar.
Oh, we love the jug. The
jug is open. They got the wings.
Over in Cinnaminson.
Cinnaminson.
Yeah. Well,
they haven't been buying a while.
Is that a call?
That's a call.
That's the bat signal.
So we've now asked for sherbet and wings in this segment.
Where they're at,
That's a shameless. That is just so shameless.
No, it's shameful. It is. That's okay. We love them over there. All right, 215-592-9494. We're hungry. Help!
No, Nicole's stomach's listening growling. Too.
Help! We're hungry over here. All right, back to your phone calls on the other side. Are the Eagles undervaluing Dallas Goedert? Yes, they obviously are, and I think it's time to put Kyle Schwarber back in the leadoff spot. I appreciate new ideas, but that was a Hugh Douglas idea with the Rojas leadoff thing. What are we doing here?
I didn't even say
it was Hugh Douglas.
It was Douglas.
Listen, I know one thing not to do to baseball fans here in Philadelphia. Say that, because that's a trigger warning right there. That is definitely a trigger warning.
I mean, Rojas is lucky he's gotten to play for a week straight here. I mean, what are we doing? All right, more from Howie on why they didn't take a tight end in the draft. That's next. Your phone calls. Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Baseball fans love the long ball. And FanDuel, in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, is giving you even more reasons to love home runs every Tuesday during the MLB season. Because with Dinger Tuesdays, all FanDuel customers get a home run profit boost. That means when you bet on moonshots, you can take your winnings to new heights. So whether it's a big blast or an Oppo Boppo, FanDuel is your home for betting home runs. Visit FanDuel.com/GIGLIO and gear up to go yard all season long. That's FanDuel.com/GIGLIO to claim your Dinger Tuesday profits. Make every moment more with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 94 WIP. Beast mode, Dallas Goedert against the Packers in the playoff game. Welcome back, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gillio, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. A lot to get to, rest of the show. We're going to have a big debate at 12 on something that is taking over the hallways here. This is all people are talking about. We'll get to you people later on.
Some of y'all got problems.
Well, that's true. And we'll have to check in with the latest on Jahad Campbell, which we all think is a really fun and hopefully a great pick. But some more things coming out about his medicals that maybe we didn't know about last week when the Eagles took us. We'll get to all that. But with Dallas Goedert here, I just think they're undervaluing the player. 215-592-9494. Hugh doesn't think they are. It's our Twitter question sponsored by the PI Dental Center. Your smile is the first thing others see when they meet you. Learn about and schedule your evaluation at PIDentalCenter.com. Are the Eagles undervaluing Dallas Goedert? 55% of the polls say yes. It's pretty close, but more than half the people say yes, which means you're losing the poll today.
Take that, Hugh Douglas.
He would thank
Big
you.
Big L for you today.
Thank you very much.
You're losing.
I mean, I'm okay. I'll be all right.
Will the Eagles be all right?
I see you tearing up in there.
I know.
I got 2 more hours. I got about two, what?
Well, you're going to flip this poll in 2 hours?
I probably will. I feel pretty confident.
I would
or
say
if
you're
I
not.
Don't, then I'd be like, they just don't know what they're talking
oh,
about.
Right. You know,
I just explain it away like always.
Well, I would be feeling better. I'd be feeling better if the Eagles had drafted a tight end. They didn't. Can we hear Howie Roseman why they didn't land a tight end in the 2025 draft?
Surprised you didn't end up with a tight end, and you know, what kind of factored into how that laid out?
Yeah, again, just trying to be as true as we could to the board. You know, every time that we had the opportunity to pick, we were looking at the board and really trying to reflect what that work to put those grades in really should be reflected in the outcome. So we didn't want to kind of drop down at some points. There were some points where it was, you know, close, but it was never at the time we were selecting the best player.
Mm. That's interesting. And I think that's the best explanation he could give you is that he valued the efforts that the scouts put in to evaluate the players that they evaluated.
Yep.
And he drafted it. This is what it sounds like, that he drafted the best player available at the position that they were drafting in. That's what it sounds like. And he tried to explain it in a way where for them, they didn't want to reach for a tight end. They stayed true to what their whatever their formula is. That's what it sounds like. They stayed true to the formula.
So I think you're right, and that's probably what they did. If there's a criticism there, Hugh, or if there's a question, it really is. Let's go to last year, right? They moved up. They traded up to get Cooper DeJean, right? Cooper didn't fall to them. They were proactive, and they liked him so much, they went and got him. I believe him, Hugh. The boards at the spots they picked said, nah, you know, this is not a tight end spot.
And then it didn't warrant no tight end, I feel like, by him saying that, warranted them to feel like they had to move up.
So that's going to be one that's going to be interesting for us to track for years from now, right? Because two tight ends went in the second round. Actually, it was three. Mason Taylor, your guy to the Jets, went at pick number 42. There was Terrence Ferguson from Oregon, went to the Rams at 46. And then Elijah Arroyo went to the Seahawks at 50. I mean, they could have traded up any of those spots if they wanted to, right? They had enough ammunition. And then Harold Fannin, that was the guy that we got calls about last week. You know, Ken loved him. He was the kid from Bowling Green.
Bowling Green, yeah.
He went right after the Eagles pick. So, I mean, I guess that's Howie's way of saying the Makuba kid, right, that the safety out of Texas.
He was the better pick at that position.
They had him higher than the tight end.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's I
and it was
get
a position of need. Like, I think there was a lot of things that factored into this and the reason why they did what they did. You needed defensive players. Your first five picks were defense.
Right.
Which that helped out a lot. Then you got some offensive linemen, you got a QB, and you got another edge rusher who probably at that position. A lot of people looking at this young man and like, wow, how did he fall so far?
The last pick you're saying.
Yes, the last pick. Antoine Powell Ryland. So I think for them, their biggest needs were filled early. And the tight end thing, even though Dallas Goedert is here and they're slow playing this, whatever that is, they didn't feel it was necessary to move up or finagle some things to get a tight end.
Yeah, and I get it. I mean, each draft takes on a life of its own, right? The board goes the way it goes. What's weird to me, Kyle, is 2 years in a row, like this Goedert thing is, we saw this coming, right? High cap number, he's probably in decline compared to 5 years ago, 4 years ago. 2 years in a row, they haven't drafted a tight end. It's almost like they're not preparing for what they're doing here.
And they usually do prepare.
Always.
They had Ertz for Celek. They had Goedert for Ertz.
Yep.
And now it doesn't feel like there's a real succession plan here. That's what would make it a lot more palatable for me if they were to let Goedert go. But I'm not comfortable with Calcaterra, Bryant, and whoever the hell else is out there, me or you, or maybe even Hugh Douglas.
Is the other guy
next
Grayson
season.
Or is Grayson Bryant? Harrison, Grayson Bryant.
I think it's Harrison Bryant, and there's a Grayson. Yeah.
Okay.
But like,
that tells you what we think about these players.
No, I don't know. I mean, if they would have drafted a tight end in this draft, it would have made a lot more sense for me. But now it's almost like I don't know. I thought that would be sort of the nail in the coffin on letting Goddard go. Doesn't seem that way, and that's what's bothering me the most.
Yeah, I feel the same way. 215-592-9494. Are the Eagles undervaluing Dallas Goddard? I feel like they are, and I watched that contract this morning where George Kittle got 4 years, 76, and I know Kittle's better, and he's going to get more money, but Kittle's 2 years older, and we can't find a way to just keep Goddard at the 14 number this year. Meanwhile, another credit tight end just got 40 guaranteed. Something's off to me. I think they're undervaluing this player. And your thought on Schwarber. So the Phillies move back to leadoff spot. He has not hit much for power or average since dropping down to the four to protect Bryce Harper. I want Schwarber back where he belongs, the leadoff spot. Antoine in Philadelphia is up on WIP. Hey, Antoine.
Hey, how y'all doing, man?
Good, Antoine. What's up, buddy?
Good. I think they undervaluing Goddard. I think it's due to, you know, Saquon, A.J. Brown, and the reps and the balls that they got to get. Now he got to take the back seat. He don't cry and complain about it. He go out there and block, and that's what helps the offense move. But when his number is called, he's making the play. That's why they're not moving on from him. That's why they didn't draft another tight end. He got an $11 million cap. They know how to play with the money. So it's not like a big cap where we're paying you $16. Guys is getting $19 million. A couple years from now, they're going to be getting $20, $22 million at the tight end position. This dude is prolific. And I know guys might be like, oh, are you crazy? Nah, he's been banged up. A.J. Brown been banged up. He's been banged up. He missed three games last year. He missed three games the year before that. He had 1,000 yards last year. He's making $30 million. You think if you get 1,000 yards, you get paid $30 million? No. We know if he wasn't held back from the touches Saquon got, he would have had 1,500 yards. We can't fault Goddard about that. He's a premier player. And Howie and them know it. If you watch the little clips on YouTube, they got, you know, about Goddard, you watch this guy. He's prolific. If you put him with a gun-slinging quarterback, he could put up 1,000 yards. I don't think Kittle is better than Goddard. I think Kittle just get more targets. And I think that Goddard can put up the same production. Yeah, he's been banged up. He's a football player. But when it was time to make the plays, he made them. We can't fault him because there's so many mouths to feed. If you throw him an extra 40 balls, he's going to get 1,000 yards.
Well, and Antoine, also, he shows up in big games. I mean, he's top 10 of all time in playoff catches by a tight end. Top 10 all time.
And listen, when it's time to win games, whether it's the playoffs or even a regular season game, you might not get the ball 5-10 times, but when the ball comes, do you make the play?
That's what matters. And he does.
And if you take that away, that hurts the team.
Antoine, I agree.
If you traded A.J. Brown for the fourth overall pick, everybody's been like, oh, yeah, that's well worth it. Nah, you're hurting the team because you wouldn't have got a player that would have set the team back.
We're
trying to win next year, too, this upcoming season.
Yep.
And to do that, you got to have all your firepower. You take Goddard away, that's weakening the link.
Antoine, I agree with a lot of what you said.
Give him 40
Antoine.
More targets, and then y'all can say, oh, yeah, Goddard's prolific. No, he's not. He's already that. He don't need that. When it's time to make the play, he's athletic, he's big, he's 6'5", 260. He can run with wide receivers. Safeties and all that can't handle him outside deep.
That's passionate. You guys doing
well, he gets it. He doesn't want to be frugal.
I hear you back there mumbling, Hugh. I hear you.
I was giving you props, dog. Yeah. I'm like, he's passionate about
he
that.
He gets
I listen,
it.
I listen to the show every day.
I promise you, I wasn't hating.
He wasn't hating, even though he's being real frugal.
I was just like, wow, that's passion. I hear you.
He's being really frugal again today, Andrew.
What I'm saying is, if Saquon, the touches, you know, he got a whole lot of touches last year that took off of A.J.'s plate. A.J., you know, we looked at it like, oh, he crying about it, but he wanted more touches. He wanted to, you know, cut some big numbers. He can do Jamar Chase numbers and Justin Jefferson numbers if he was getting the amount of targets that they was getting.
All right, Antoine, I got some numbers here to back up what you're saying. It's a good call, Antoine. We appreciate it. So while Dallas Goedert's numbers don't compare to some of the other – you know, enormous tight ends in the NFL, yards or touchdowns or that stuff. He does have a point on the targets. If he got more targets, he'd have more production.
Yeah.
So there's a stat, yards per target, right? Like how many yards you get per every target when you're actually throwing the football. Dallas Goedert last year, just last year, 21st in the NFL. That includes all receivers and all tight ends and all backs catching the ball. That's a pretty high ranking. I mean, just to give you an example, Devontae was 25th in the NFL in yards per target. Mm-hmm. Puka Nacua was 28th in yards per target. I mean, these are obviously tremendous football players. They were behind him. Amon-Ra St. Brown, 40th in yards per target. Laporta, who's a really great young tight end, he was 47th in yards per target. Dallas Goedert last year, 21st in the NFL yards per target. Basically the same number as Mark Andrews. I mean, when they throw him the ball, he makes
productive.
Plays.
And you know what the unfortunate thing about that is? Mm. Was hurt a lot too. Mm. And that's
Dr. Douglas over here.
No, right? I'm just trying to. I like Dallas Goedert. I told you I got a Dallas Goedert jersey. But I'm trying to get in the head of Howie and the Eagles and try to not so much justify what they're doing or what they're trying to do, but try to explain to you what potentially is the reasoning behind what they're doing.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
So there's a lot of elements to all this. The cap room and future money. All of that. All that. But Goedert has been here for 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? If you were Dallas Goedert, I want to put you in your shoes as a player, and you were on the Eagles for 8 years, and a guy that's been here 1 year gets a raise when he didn't
need one.
You
feel some kind of way.
I'm speaking about Saquon. I know Saquon's a better player.
I thought you were talking about Zach.
But Zach was a free agent. They mm-hmm. had to pay Zach to keep him.
Mm-hmm.
Saquon was not a free agent. I know he's a great player and had a great year. They didn't have to do anything to his contract at all. They didn't have to give him a dime more. And they gave him a ton of cash.
You feel some kind of way about
it. Of course.
That.
Like, you don't have enough cash under the pillows for me, under the mattress for me. We're scraping pennies here. But you gave this guy who just got here a ton of cash this offseason. I'd be annoyed.
And that's a real conversation. And that's something that you never, as a former player, you never want to count anybody else's money. But to your point, somebody that has been here, that has been drafted here, to see somebody outside of that get that, you do feel some kind of way, but you also understand Saquon Barkley was a big part of the offense.
Huge
part.
The biggest.
And he played all 17 games.
Well, no, he sat the last one.
Well, okay. I mean, but
no,
you,
I know. He
but
was
you,
healthy the whole year.
But you get what I'm saying. I know what you meant. I mean, I know what you meant. But that's the thing that you have to look at. And again, I can't stress this enough because it's huge for the NFL. Your biggest asset is your availability. And when it comes to negotiating money, that I can almost guarantee you that that's probably one of the biggest sticking points for all of this. Well,
sure.
He missed 7 games last year. You know, I mean, and then his agent is coming back and saying, well, when he came in, he did this, that, and the third. If it wasn't for him, you wouldn't have done this, that, and the third. But for the Eagles, their whole argument is probably he's always hurt.
I'm
and
sure
that's,
it is.
That's a huge. That's huge, Joe.
I'm sure it is.
That's huge.
We do also have to factor in, and I know we've only seen Saquon as an Eagle 1 year, and he was healthy the whole time. But Joe mentioned earlier he's been off injured his entire career.
His whole career.
Can we count on him next season to play 16, 17 games again?
Count on his very
strong.
That,
yeah. That's and this is the thing. Just like the NFL draft this weekend, you pay for the potential. You know, and I know for a lot of people, you're probably in the car. Oh, that makes no sense. It makes perfect sense to them. You know what I mean? And that's the reality of the game. Saquon Barkley got rewarded for what he did and probably some locker room stuff that were intangibles that they felt that they
he
needed to pay
bring
him.
Them together.
Yes.
Yeah.
Dallas Goedert has been a guy who is probably looked at in organization. Well, and again, I am coming from a perspective of, I don't know how he's grading out, but if they feel this strongly about him, his grade probably fell off. You know, everybody gets graded. Every play that you're in the NFL, you get an evaluation on, you know, whether you had a mental error, did you do what you're supposed to do, and things of that nature. And they calculate all that data, and at the end of the year, whether it's fair or not, they'll say, well, he didn't grade out high in this. He didn't do this. And that goes against you. And the fact that he was hurt is probably going against you. I'm with you. It makes, especially when you talk about what has transpired or didn't transpire, you didn't get a tight end. Makes no sense to get rid of him, but that number for them is too high.
I know. It feels like we're headed for a standoff here. I don't know how this thing ends, but I don't think anyone's trading for him at the number he has. I don't think the Eagles are in a great position to just cut him because they don't have much behind him. It feels like we're headed for a standoff where they're going to try to get him to lower his number. I do think deep down they'd rather have him than not. I mean, who wouldn't want to have Dallas Goedert on your team if you have nothing else? I think they'd want to keep him, but they're not going to keep him at this number, and feels like we're headed for a standoff. I just think they're undervaluing the player. He's good.
Yeah, he is, and he'll probably – and you know what the funny thing about it? There's a good chance that he would go somewhere else, and he'd probably be more productive.
Yeah.
There's a chance of that, but then there's also a chance that he could go somewhere else and be injured.
Sure, that's both are possible with him. All I know is this. I'll put it this way. Let's say we're in the playoffs next year, and he ends up on an NFC playoff team. Do you want to face Dallas Goedert in a big game? I don't.
No, he's a big
guy. Yeah. If the Eagles are playing a playoff game next year and an opposing NFC team happens to sign him after the Eagles cut him, and he's in here as an opponent, I don't want him against the Eagles. He's going to make a play. Let's go to Derek at Paley. What's up, Derek?
Yo, what's up, fellas? Yo, listen, real quick. Joe, you was the same person last year when Kelce retired, right?
Mm-hmm.
You were saying how the Eagles was going to miss him. He's a Hall of Fame center. And
yeah, it's a flip-flopping Joe.
Right? Then they won the Super Bowl, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now, like I said, Dallas Goedert is good, right? But the Eagles played how many games last year? 20, right?
Yes.
20 games. He played 10, right? So people are saying, like, he means this and he's that. Yeah, he's good. But if they play 20 games, he plays 10, and they win the Super Bowl, where is the undervalue in that at?
Because now they think they don't need him.
Yeah, but if you win 20 games and he missed, if you play 20 games, win 17, he only plays in 10. Where's the undervalue in that at? Like, I'm not saying they say they don't need him, but he's not worth $15 million a year to play 10 games. Like George Kittle, who's San Francisco's number one receiver right now?
Well, Kittle,
right?
Kittle,
George Kittle, right? So for the Eagles to play Dallas Goedert, top tight end money, to be the fourth option on the team, that makes zero sense. And there's still moves to be made. I just think sometimes we need something to talk about, but I just don't think
Hold on. You say moves to be made. Where are we getting a starting tight end now? The draft is over. Free agency is over.
What's your name? The Eagles can't sign no other players right now. That's what you're telling me.
Yeah, they can, but there's a reason why,
right?
Players are
available.
But if the players are available in May, they're probably not that good.
Okay, well, what's your name? Was it? He was available when? Zach Bond was available when?
No, Derek, they got Zach Bond day one of free agency last year. Day one.
And no one knew who he was, right? So I'm saying what the Eagles are doing right now, listen. You got Saquon Barkley, you got A.J. Brown, you got Devontae Smith. They have a killer defense, right? Like, if Dallas Goedert is not in their plans for $15 million, like, for me, I don't see the problem. Now, if he want to take 10, that's different. But when y'all say, like, Dallas Goddard's one of the top two tight ends in the league.
Well, I don't think he is, but there's right? there's a difference between not being top two and not being worth it. Like, he's not top two. But he had 17 catches in the four playoff games. Like, he was a huge part of their offense when won the Super Bowl.
That's cool. I'm just saying, like, for $15 million, though, if that was your money, it's easy to spend somebody else's money, right? But if that was your money, you paying somebody who played 10 out of 20 games, $15 million,
right,
and who has missed 15 games over the last 3 years, like, that's just where I come down.
I get it. Yeah, dollars and cents, I get it. But I'm not trying to balance the books. I'm trying to win football games,
Derek,
over here.
What's up, Derek?
Listen, you a cigar smoker, right?
You know what, Derek? I've been trying. Like, my cigar acumen is not that high.
Mm.
I'm still working on
you
it.
You got to go to a cigar lounge.
Because it's like, I know it's called, I call it Nat Turner. That's not the name.
What is it?
It's the name of a cigar that I like, but I keep forgetting the name. It's called Nate something, but I call it Nat Turner.
Oh, okay.
That's not the name, though.
I was going to put you on. I was going to put you on with a little cigar function, man. I think you would like it on the.
Wait a minute,
Sherman? Is that
Nat? It might be Nat Sherman. Mm. I like those cigars.
Oh, okay.
But isn't there a cigar bar or something over? Because Hollis was telling me about it.
Nah, my peoples be having like cigars called Smoke on the Water on the Mooshaloo. Maybe like once a month, man. If you on Instagram, if you follow like, you know, Smoke on the Water Philly.
Well, I'm about to do that right now. That's a nice
little
event.
And even if you don't smoke cigars, Like, I hear you talk about a lot of other things. I think you would.
I know what you're getting at. Yeah.
I think that you would like it there, man. You know what I mean?
So, a lot of women smoke cigars. Man.
It's one on Sunday, too, May 4th. It's called Cigar Day Mayo.
Oh, hold on. That's BG Day for Hugh.
I got a busy day.
Come after.
I see it. Smoke
come
on
after.
The water, Philly. Yeah. I see this. I'm following. Yeah.
4 to 9 p.m.
Yeah.
Good stuff, Derek. Man, we appreciate your phone call.
9 p.m.
Yeah. He will be asleep by the end of that. He's out.
No, I remember because Hollis called me the other day. He was trying to invite me to a cigar spot.
Yeah.
Got to be careful, though.
This looks like a cool thing that Derek just brought up to us.
Yeah, it is. It does look like it.
I hear Derek's point. I hear your point. Are we trying to balance the books around here? Are we trying to win Super Bowls?
Yes.
What do you mean?
To your point.
I don't care about the books.
Listen.
I want to win football games.
I get that, but this is the unfortunate
part. Got a bunch of accountants over here.
this guy went
from defensive end to accountant. What an amazing transformation.
This is the unfortunate side of football. We would all like to make moves, but there are financial ramifications that come with some of the moves that we make.
This guy's unbelievable.
I'm just saying, man. I'm just trying to give you as much information as I possibly can.
I thought when this show started, they were pairing me with a defensive end.
Clear. I'm trying to give
this
you.
This guy is
I'm
a numbers guy.
I'm trying to give
guy.
You clear and concise info.
What a nerd. All right,
informative
215-592-9494. That's how you hop it. All your calls on this. We're debating the Dallas Goedert situation. Are the Eagles undervaluing him? It feels like they are to me. And is it time to move Schwarber back to leadoff spot? His numbers have really cratered since they put him behind Harper to protect Harper. Plus, there's something else we need to have a full debate about. It's one everyone's been debating for days now. We'll throw into the mix next. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop board. It's the Midday Show, as always, on Sports Radio 94 WIP.